McPherson filling in for Evan Bray on this Monday morning. We're having lots of fun here, and we've got lots of great guests coming up before the end of the show. Well, we absolutely love on this show highlighting local charities and local events, and of course this segment is no different. We're taking a look at an event happening coming up on August the 14th in Regina, hosted by the South Saskatchewan Community Foundation. And that group's executive director, Donna Ziegler, joins us now to tell us a little bit more about it. Donna, how are you this morning?
I am doing great. Thank you so much for having me on.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Well, why don't we start with a little bit of background for those who are unfamiliar. Tell us about the South Saskatchewan Community Foundation and some of the work that you do.
That sounds great. So we've been around for 56 years, and truthfully, our mission is to facilitate giving from donors and community members right back to charities and just helping grow that charitable sector. And so we act as a private foundation without any of the work for individuals, families, businesses, all under one roof. So that's what our community foundation does.
So you really kind of connect people who are interested in giving with the different charities, or they're able to give through the community foundation and then you sort of funnel the money out to different charities? Is that how it works?
Yeah, that is true. We are really in the legacy giving business, where we hold onto the capital and then we give back the interest or income back to charities. Now, that is the most sustainable and impactful way that you can make a donation. But of course, we realize that charities need money sometimes right now. So that we have other types of funds that organizations or businesses or families or individuals can create, like a flow-through fund where the money goes in and the money goes out immediately. But there are all kinds of different ways that a community foundation gets involved with community. So, of course, this event in particular is really about bringing the community together to understand what do some of the charities in the area and right across Saskatchewan, what do they do? How do they use the resources for various things? So we're really excited about this event.
Okay, August the 14th, and I love the name for this. It's the third annual Friendraiser. This year's event is titled Illuminating Impact. So where and when and how can people get involved and what can they expect on the 14th?
Yeah, so we have a number of students helping us. Honestly, this event would not be possible without our students that have really taken the reins and led this. So the illuminating really means to highlight the charities right across Saskatchewan. There'll be over 100 charities in the room. There'll be over 300 community members, donors, people interested in what charities do. But we do ask you to leave your checkbook at home. Come and learn. Come and see what the charities do. Learn about their impact. Learn about where you might want to leave your resources or start your legacy. And then you learn also about the Community Foundation. So we'll be at Connexus Arts Center, 1 to 3:30, August 14th. There'll be some local vendors. There'll be some music. It'll be wonderful. And it's all free because we've had some wonderful sponsors step forward, and we have an anonymous donor that steps forward to support this, who believes that people need to understand what the charitable sector does and how they can get involved. So we'd love to see people out learning more about the charities right across Saskatchewan.
Donna Ziegler is with us, South Saskatchewan Community Foundation, their third annual Friendraiser happening at the Connexus Arts Center in Regina on August the 14th. This being the third annual, Donna, I've got to assume the first two were pretty big successes for you. How has the event kind of changed over the 3 years?
Well, we outgrew our venue the very first year. We had 70 charities and 150 guests, but we outgrew it. People heard about it. People wanted to come out and see it. So last year, we had over 100 charities, over 300 guests. This year, we're also thinking that we will probably have close to, if not more, guests in the room. And we've advanced it. The students have really taken it off and just kind of made it, kind of put it on steroids, really an opportunity, a charity expo to learn about charities and come and build relationships. The Community Foundation is about legacy giving, but it all is based on learning about charities, but creating those lasting relationships.
Tell us a little bit more about the legacy giving, because that sounds like a really kind of sustainable way to create a long-term impact rather than just, you know, writing a single check.
Yeah, that's true. And legacy giving can allow, again, businesses or organizations, or because we have a number of charities that have legacy gifts with us as well, it allows sustainability for the future of those charities and the future of that community impact. It goes on in perpetuity or as long as you want. And you can continue. That one donation that you make can continue to have impact in community on the most emergent needs or on those that you, you know, maybe you have a cause that you really care about. It can really help that cause well into the future. So the legacy giving is our main business because we want to, we're kind of like a pension plan for community in the future. We want to make sure that the issues that come up in the future are have resources that they can use to kind of, you know, alleviate or help build some bridges with those challenges.
Donna Ziegler is with us from the South Saskatchewan Community Foundation. Donna, are there any stories that really stand out for you as an example of, you know, the type of connection or the type of good work that events like these and that your foundation has been involved in?
I think one of the pieces is that the Community Foundation is for everyone. You don't have to have thousands and thousands of resources. You can have, you know, maybe you want to leave your home to community, or maybe you want to just start with a smaller amount of the legacy and know that it's going to keep giving back forever. We've had a number of people who came to the Friend Raiser and were very surprised at how many charities there were and the variety of charities. So some people wanted to give back to mental health. Some people wanted to give back to, you know, provincial parks that are charitable organizations. Some wanted to give back to health initiatives or education. They were very surprised. We had one of our strongest, longest giving donors very surprised at all the charities that had come together and some of the charitable entities that you've never heard of. We had one small group out of St. Vincent come and make a display on their petroglyphics, and it was just amazing to see what they do right around Saskatchewan. So there are many stories that have come out of the Friend Raisers that we've celebrated, and a lot of the community members that go to visit are quite shocked at all they can see, all the stories. Each charity gets some time, if you pop by their little station, to share just some stories. They can share you know, the programs that they're working on, the impact that they've been able to have. And so that is the critical part. It's building that empathy to understand the challenges and how necessary the charitable sector is for a vibrant community.
You're right about that. Donna, we've heard a lot about affordability issues over the last couple of years and, you know, people just not having really any extra money to speak of. Have you seen any kind of trend when it comes to charitable donations? Are donations up because people want to help more? Are they down because people don't have as much spending? What sort of trends are you noticing?
So that's a really good point. I think charitable giving across Canada is down. We know that donors over 65 are most, that age category is most to give, but they're also interested in legacy, leaving a legacy in community. And I know people think, oh, you know, I don't have much to give, but actually people underestimate how much they can leave after they've gone. And so leaving an estate gift is critical to community. And again, this event here is because, you know, we've been kind of given unrestricted resources from a donor to be able to celebrate community, to be able to celebrate the charitable sector. And so that is our hope, too, that more people learn about the charitable sector, and so they're giving their resources to something that they care about. And so learning about the over 100 charities is important. Last year alone, we were able to give back over $7 million to over 250 charities. And that is because donors have invested in legacy giving and want to ensure that the community is sustainable for the future.
Donna, before I let you go, I know we have listeners across the entire province and even beyond. Not everyone's going to be able to make it down to the Kinexus Arts Centre on the 14th in Regina to take in the Friendraiser. How can people get involved or find out more about your community foundation?
Yeah, I would ask them to go to our website, sscf.ca, and under a number of our publications, we are very transparent, but under our publications, go and take a look at our financial reports, our community impact report, our growing futures report, the vital signs report that talks about research. In there, you can link to all the charities that are associated to affordable housing, to food security, to mental health and suicide prevention, all kinds of different challenges that are in right across Saskatchewan. And they can look and see how they can get involved. Our community foundation is more than transactional. We care about the community. We're looking for ways to celebrate the different charitable entities, and we want to help community members and donors understand what they can do with for the charitable sector.
Well, Donna, thank you so much for not only for all the good work that you do with the Community Foundation, but for taking the time to join us on the show as well. This has been a pleasure, and I hope we can do it again soon.
Thanks so much. It's been great to be on the show.
Of course. That's Donna Ziegler with the South Saskatchewan Community Foundation. Their third annual Friendraiser event happening August 14th, Kinexus Arts Centre in Regina. I'm Taylor McPherson. Lots more still ahead on the Evan Bray Show. Keep it locked right here to 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Taylor McPherson sitting in for Evan Bray on this Monday morning. Little interesting piece that I read this morning in the National Post on the sentencings of the organizers of the so-called Freedom Convoy protests back in, was it 2022 that they rolled into Ottawa and everyone was honking their horns and, you know, it became a giant gong show. And of course, Justin Trudeau ended up invoking the Emergencies Act, giving police a bunch of special powers. There were clashes between police and protesters. It was just a bad scene all around, although probably could have been handled better by both the organizers and the government and the police as well. Didn't Ottawa's police chief end up resigning over it? Because he knew that this convoy was coming and really didn't do anything to prepare for it. Ultimately, though, the two organizers, Tamara Leach and Saskatchewan's own Chris Barber, he's from Swift Current, I believe, have been convicted of mischief. And Barber has also been convicted of counseling others to disobey a court order. Okay, probably not unfair. There was some mischief at foot during those Freedom Convoy protests. But the thing that's got really a lot of people raising their eyebrows, myself included, is the sentence the Crown is seeking. So the Crown wants 7 years in jail for Tamara Leach and 8 years in jail for Chris Barber. If that sounds a little high, particularly when you compare it to other cases where, you know, some truly horrific crimes have been committed and some of the sentences, if you're seeing that comparison and going, you know, these proposed sentences for Leach and Barber just seem way high, you are definitely not alone. Writing in the National Post, Tristan Hopper, one of my favorite columnists active in Canada, has compiled a huge list of all the crimes you can commit that would result in lower jail sentences than 7 and 8 years. And honestly, some of them are too heinous for me to even read about them on the radio. But remember the guy who had the car full of guns and crashed into Justin Trudeau's house at the front gate? He was trying to arrest the Prime Minister at 24 Sussex, and ultimately he was stopped by RCMP before he could injure anybody. But yeah, he smashed through the gate and tried to arrest the Prime Minister. You know what sentence the Crown sought in that case? 6 years. So they determined that that was not as bad as organizing a protest in Ottawa. Killing multiple people while drunk driving. Tristan Hopper points out the case of an Edmonton man who killed a senior couple while driving drunk in 2022. The Crown sought and he received a 5-year jail sentence. So killing people while drunk driving, lower sentence than organizing a convoy protest in Ottawa. Oh, and 5 years was also the sentence sought by the Crown in a Newfoundland drunk driving case where a guy had been pounding him back all day at a music festival in 2019, ultimately causes a crash that kills a couple, seriously injures their daughter and her boyfriend in the back seat. 5 years as a result. Oh, there was also a guy who was trying to intervene in a fight between a man and his girlfriend and got stabbed to death for his trouble. The guy who stabbed him, 5-year jail sentence. There was an Edmonton police constable, Tristan Hopper points out, who was convicted not just for sex crimes, but for sex crimes against the vulnerable women that he tracked down using his status as a police officer. Sometimes, Hopper writes, forcing himself on the women while he was in uniform. The Crown sought 2 to 3 years, and the sentencing judge opted for 6 months. So, like I said, some of these are so heinous that I can't even read about them on the radio. But a guy who amassed a child porn collection, including 7,170 videos and 1,148 images, the images were so graphic, violent, and disturbing that the lawyers were actually encouraged not to detail their contents so that court staff wouldn't have to read about them. 3.5 years was what the Crown sought in that case, and he was sentenced to 2. When you do the little step back and compare, considering that nobody died during those convoy protests, yeah, there were clashes between protesters and police, but frankly, if Leach and Barber weren't ever involved, there probably still would have been big protests in Ottawa. People were getting real sick of the federal government at that point. People were sick of the COVID-imposed lockdowns, vaccine mandates, that sort of thing. Whether you agree with them or not is completely beside the point. Because ultimately what Leach and Barber were convicted of was organizing a protest that may have run afoul of some local ordinance and laws. And then Barber told people to continue protesting even after the courts ordered them to disperse. Is that worth 8 years behind bars? And you've got to hope that the judge put some real sense into the sentencing here. And no matter what the Crown is looking at, the judge can obviously make a more realistic sentencing decision in this case. And you've got to hope that they would. Ultimately, I'm not scared that these two people are walking around sharing the street with me. I don't think that it's for the good of society that they need to be thrown behind bars. You know, maybe a fine I'd be okay with. Because ultimately, I don't think they're going to do it again. This court case has dragged both of them through goodness knows how many hours and weeks and months and years of just uncertainty, and how many legal bills, and just how, well, it's dominated their lives and probably catapulted them to some infamy to the point where they're going to struggle in the future, you know, finding a new job, whatever it is. 7 and 8 years just seems ridiculously high. And you've got to hope that the judge in this case has some good sense in their head and goes a little bit lower than the Crown's recommendations. Taylor McPherson filling in for Evan Bray right here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.